B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I would love to play 5 more years. I'd love to play 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. It'll be a challenge for me. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think 35, 36, 37, 38 was easy either. It's going to be hard to do. But I think I can do it.
New Tom Brady. As in new sound of Tom Brady speaking.
How about that?
Gotham Chopper's podcast.
Been holding our breath today. Everybody's sitting on that. We got it.
What do you mean holding our breath today?
Well, we wanted to start there. Start there with this. This is new stuff.
Well, not
I don't think 35, 36, 37, 38 was easy either. It's going to be hard to do.
Yeah. And if you hear the F word there that he delivers, it sounds like he's sort of forcing it in there.
You know what it's like?
You know, and I don't blame him because when I get on a podcast, I try and swear as much as I can.
I know exactly.
I don't go on them often, but when I do,
okay,
like Section 10, for example, yeah. Section 10.
Yeah. Do you know what he sounds like?
I swear like I crazy.
Well, go ahead. You go first.
He is the guy buying the car in Fargo when he's selling him that clear coat.
Okay.
He says, you're a farging liar.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. He does sound like that.
You lied to me, Mr. Lundgaard. You're a bald-faced liar.
Okay, please.
A liar.
He doesn't say that word a lot.
Who's the guy in Whoopsie-Daisies?
Well, it's going to be hard to do.
What's his name? Come on, long-haired Brit. Good, the actor, he's good. He's in Whoopsie-Daisies, you know.
Oh, Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. So there's another movie Hugh Grant is in called Mickey Blue Eyes.
Oh, sure.
And he's riding with James Caan in a car. And Caan's telling him, like, hey, forget about it. And he's like, forget about it. Or, F you.
Forget about it.
He's like, no, say it. Forget about it.
Going to be hard to do.
Yeah. He's using it the wrong part in the sentence.
See, they installed that true coat at the factory. You know, there's not much I could do.
Get my checkbook before I change my mind. So he says it's going to effing be hard to do.
Yeah.
Is that where he puts it?
Yeah, he says the next five. But there's a caveat here. And that is this was recorded before the season started.
Yeah.
So this interview is not fresh. Gotham, podcast Gotham, he hung on to this all season long. He's just putting it out there now. Is this his last podcast of the podcast season?
Well, when did...
Because podcast...
Yes, this is season two coming up later this year, yes.
So he saved this for the big finale.
When did Tom versus Time really ramp up last year?
Right before the end of the season?
No,
off-season?
I would say about the time when the San Diego game was, because that's where he's sitting there getting...
No, they
down
dropped
by...
it in the playoffs. It started in the playoffs.
This week or like last week.
But that makes sense, Hardy.
Really?
You reel them in during a hot time. This, now what? I can't listen to Gotham next week. The season's over. Saved it for the season ender. Should have put it in the premiere. Got some people listening to this, but what do I know?
This is good, though.
Also should have promoted it instead of like, the podcast was titled by the wrestler's name. The random amateur wrestler's name that nobody knows.
That story is
something
Jimmy
else. Oh, Jimmy Stewart everything about him. The real nails, the hammer in his head.
That's
something
else.
Blood.
Talking about taking a barbed wire bat and
that's real wrestling.
Hitting his fiance over the head.
This
all happened on this Why Sports Matter podcast with Gotham Chopra, Religion of Sports, that venture that has Brady and Gotham and Michael Strahan, and coincidentally, all three of them are included in this podcast.
The music on the podcast and Chopra's delivery puts you in a trance. Like the beginning of it, you start, okay, I am Gotham Chopra, and you're making it.
He's a very calming presence.
I felt like I was getting hypnotized driving in. I'm like, I better watch for red lights and stuff. Because I'm like, whoa, you got me, man.
All right, so let's get to some of the material, including why Brady continues to play football.
I think keep doing it because I know once I stop, I can never redo it.
That's Tom Brady, quarterback for the New England Patriots, the greatest quarterback who's ever lived
and one of the best athletes in the history of sports.
Once you stop, you're done. I still like feel there's things to accomplish. And I've had an opportunity, based on all the things that have happened the last 12 years of my life, you know, to put myself in a position to achieve things that no one else has achieved. So I feel like I kind of have to do it.
Well, don't let us twist your arm.
I had the tiger.
Yes. But you hear Chopper there, and you're thinking, you're going to a happy place. You're thinking about
actually, Jim, could you put those to, could you blend that into away. Eye of the Tiger today? That would be fabulous. That would actually make the podcast.
Have to do it.
All right, let's focus on the quote there, if we could. It's almost like you have to do it. Wait, is someone twisting your arm to go out there and play football?
I mean, he's made more money than anybody, right? I mean, we know what
he feels obligated to continue playing football. I think it's a very, what he says here
is
very interesting. And if it's completely truthful and it's just him telling you how he really feels,
it's such a reversal from
sometimes we don't want the truth.
But really, though, think about the sign off on Tom versus Time last year where really I have to question your convictions. Like, what are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for?
Well, he says
it's such a reversal from that.
In no uncertain terms, that he's doing this for him now and nobody else.
Well, he answered his question.
He says it. I'm doing this for me, and that's it. So that's fine. I mean, we all want him to continue playing, right? I just think that some of his answers may not be the answers that you want to hear. Some of the motivations may not be what you want them to be.
Which ones? Like, go ahead. Like, give me more. Give me more of this. I mean, there's good stuff in here.
All right. If we could go to number three and him being himself out there on the field.
Tom Brady has made millions. He's accomplished more on the field than any other athlete, arguably, in history. He has a wife and kids. He has what many might consider the perfect life. So why continue to put himself through the physical pain and sacrifice needed to perform at an elite level?
When I'm out in the field in front of 70,000 people, I can kind of do what I want. You know, I can really be who I am. I get to be me with my raw emotion and energy. And, you know, if I want to scream at somebody, I can scream at somebody. But you don't really ever see me do that anyplace else.
The real Tom Brady. If the guy on the field is the real Tom, then who is the guy we see off of it?
In so many ways, I can be myself out there on the field that in a lot of ways I can't be myself if I don't feel protected. You know, if I'm around people I don't know and I know that a conversation is going to go outside of the people that are I'm having the conversation with, I don't say much. And I think my way of protecting myself from that is to isolate myself, you know, because I'm protective of who I am and I don't trust a lot of people. So that's why I love football so much, because it allows me to be who I am in a very authentic way that is hard for me to be, you know, when I walk off the field.
Is it me or does he sound like a paranoid dude?
Scratchy. Hey, Scratchy. That's why he does Jim Gray. Told you, man. He told me that. He's safe. He's safe.
I sort of feel bad for him. When I hear him. I do.
You know who's really good about this, too?
I feel bad for him.
You take the weirdo.
As a human being, he's paranoid of talking to people. Like that.
Oh,
that
everybody analyzes stuff. But
that can't be good.
But when you put yourself out there and you have this other product away from football, and if it wasn't just the football, you open yourself to certain criticism. It tells you that he doesn't like criticism, is what it does. And Strahan is on this podcast also, which is phenomenal. I thought that may have been the best part. Because Strahan has transitioned into a fantastic career where he bitched about playing football at the end. Like, it was a grind to him. His body broke down. He hated the pain. And now he's great at what he does. I love Michael Strahan. But he talks about, man, I was scared bleepless.
You know what it sort of tells you? You're right.
He's telling you what
all that four
Brady's going to go through.
Right? Nothing you could say will bother me or it'll just roll. I'm not, you know. No fear of anything. He's paranoid. He's telling us he's paranoid.
Yeah.
He's fighting like hell to protect whatever it is he's trying to protect. His image.
I can't tell you.
Does this explain some of the Stedman, Tony Robbins stuff that he needs it in his life?
He needs security. He needs positivity. He needs guidance. He needs a plan. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys I played with that screwed up off the field or had issues or something's gone with their head. Then you get out there in the field like Brady's talking about and everything goes away.
But you asked me specifically
like he's
about
a different guy.
Which of these answers are the ones that you don't want to hear. Because what do you want to hear from Brady?
I want to hear that
it's all about I want to win. I want to win.
No, I want to hear he's full in and he wants to keep playing.
Well, before we move on to another one, doesn't this one tell you that he doesn't want to go anywhere and he doesn't want Brady to leave? He doesn't want Belichick to leave and he doesn't want McDaniels to leave.
Wow, that's where did that come from? I didn't hear that.
Well, wait a minute.
He's from people being around that I'm comfortable with. He doesn't want to be around new people.
Why does he circle himself with Jim Gray all the time? Why does he circle himself with Anthony Ray? He's with those people. He feels okay with those people. It's sort of the football part of it is that's who they
are. Maybe that's why new receivers come in and they have such a hard time adjusting to him. But he likes the guys that he's been around his whole life. He likes to be comfortable.
Who says he's comfortable? He says he likes being around. He likes being around. You know, the people that he's comfortable with. Who says that he's comfortable with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels? After
who says he's not
he
paranoid
can be himself
about
when he's around those guys? He just said that he can be himself when he's in the.
He
on the
didn't
field.
Say that
on
the though. Field.
Not
they did
when he's on the field. Who's he on the field with?
Not Belichick and not McDaniels.
Well, they're part of it.
But you're talking about two different things.
They get him ready.
He's talking about when he's playing, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Well, he's talking about screaming and
yelling. I took it very specific. When he's on the field, he's out there, he's doing reps, he's in the game. That's when he feels the most comfortable. I get it. You don't have to think about anything else. And I don't feel bad for him. You know, what's the adage? You should never
feel
bad
for someone who's got paranoia.
Never feel sorry for somebody who has their own jet, which
well, the perfect life.
Maybe he
the
doesn't, life but he very easily could. So, no, I don't feel bad for him. But I think what he's experiencing is probably what a lot of wealthy and successful people do. He's constantly wondering, and for good reason, what does this guy want from me? Why is this person being nice to me? What is it that they're after? And more so than the criticism, I don't think he likes... And who should? I don't think he likes duplicity. I don't think he likes people acting one way,
right.
Saying one thing, and then saying another behind their back or acting another way. Nobody likes that. And if he really is trying to surround himself with as much positivity, that's as much a defense to all that stuff as anything else. I don't think it's because he's, you know, going off the deep end or he's suffering from full paranoia. You know, what's the cliche, Beetle? Perfect paranoia. Paranoia is nothing more than perfect awareness. I think he's very aware that there's a lot of people around him and coming after him who aren't necessarily being totally genuine in what they're approaching him about.
Like who?
Name it.
Could be anybody. Could be.
Let's say it's like a borderline colleague, someone who used to play the game who sits down next to you on a bench, you know, before a big game.
Uh-huh.
And he just starts trying chatting you up. You don't know what that guy's after.
You know what? He dropped a couple F bombs, and it didn't sound like it's drawn out. Like, forget about it. He didn't have to change his voice; it just flowed there. But you know what? He trusts me.
Should he?
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, people don't understand. Like, and this part is Beatles' thing about the paranoia. And you're different. You can't. If you're on the road, you can't go down a lobby and pick up a Gatorade or a candy bar. Not that he ever would, but you just can't walk in the little sundry shop at the hotel. You can't walk in the same door we all walk in through.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think keep doing it because I know once I stop, I can never redo it.
That's Tom Brady, quarterback for the New England Patriots. The greatest quarterback who's ever lived and one of the best athletes in the history of sports.
Once you stop, you're done. I still feel there's things to accomplish. And I've had an opportunity, based on all the things that have happened the last 12 years of my life, you know, to put myself in a position to achieve things that no one else has achieved. So I feel like I kind of have to do it.
Be with us at 10:50 today. That's Tom Brady. I got them Chopra's podcast, which dropped yesterday and was taped before the start of the season. Feels like he has to do it at this point.
Mm.
He's got no choice. He's got to go out there. He's got to keep doing what he does. Here's another one of his answers about being in flow stage. Flow stage. This is something that was brought up not by Gotham Chopra, but by his father.
Water.
What's his father's name again? Deepak Chopra, who was also a part of this podcast.
What does it feel like on the field when you feel like you're in that flow state? What does it feel like for you to be performing at that level?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I think for me, what I look for is like the perfect pass. And that's a daily thing for me. And it's almost like a high when I could take the ball and then, you know, when I've been thinking about my mechanics and the ball goes with the velocity I want, the accuracy I want, and then I just want it again.
Yeah.
And then I want it again, and then I want it again.
It's a high. Addictive. If there was a place where week after week, you could tap into that flow, where you could feel completely free, wouldn't you hold on to that for dear life too? It makes sense why Tom wouldn't want to give that up.
I mean, I think the last 8 years of my career have been better than the first 10. You know, so I should just prolong it. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. You know, be like getting close to the top of the mountain and be like, that's good, I'm good. It's like, no, you're really hard to get to this point. Why not finish it off?
He's right on that pass, man. When you throw that one and it's just, you throw that dime, it's just the way it comes off the hand.
No, but he's talking about that's his motivation to play.
Right, but that this is him. Remember the stuff in Montana where he's throwing
passes?
And he goes, oh my God, that one felt good. And this was in Tom versus Time last year.
Which I get.
Like, it's great. Wasn't it Tom House he was working
with? He's a perfectionist. It's what makes him who he is.
Tom House was here this weekend. He was here this weekend working with him.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just that.
I feel so good.
You always expect the answer to be like, well, there's nothing like winning. You know? You expect there to be some discussion of winning. There was no discussion.
Well, that comes with it. That's what makes him win.
He doesn't talk about it, though.
But that personal drive makes you the winner.
I know that. I understand that. I agree with that.
People are like, what do you mean?
That's why it doesn't matter. But I'm just saying that it's interesting.
People are like, what do you mean his eight years are better than 10? What's wrong with the last 10?
Well, he won three Super Bowls in the first 8. He's won 2 in the last 10.
And he's also gotten hurt. So that two-year area where, okay, the knee went, and then it was me coming back, I don't think that was a really good time for him.
617-779-0985. He also mentions post-career stuff, and that's where Strahan sort of comes in. Strahan talks a little bit about that, but on his purpose post-career, Tom Brady.
When I stop playing, I'll still have that drive. I'll still have that desire to be the best version of myself. And that's daily work. It's not like you just mail it in. It's not like I'm on autopilot. So I've got to work hard at those things. You know, you always need to grow and evolve to me as a person and as a teammate, as a husband, as a father. And I'm a lot of things, and I want to be great at all those things. Or I want to be the best I can be at those things.
Maybe you have different buckets in your life that you can always reach into. You know, a lot of things that motivate you or inspire you. What my deeper purpose is and how I am here and what my challenges are, what my opportunities for growth are, what my influence on other people can be, you know, to deepen my own purpose in my own life. This won't be the only path that I'm on, you know, for the next, hopefully, 50, 60 years of my life. I know what my motivations are, and it's not to satisfy other people. It's to satisfy myself. And if I'm satisfied with myself, I'm good. I really am. I feel good, you know. I'm going to live a very purposeful life.
Well, we also learned that Brady wants to play until he's 45 and live until his, you know, mid-90s or 100.
Hey, honey, how are you? What do you do with the Metamucil? Let's go down to TB12 and get a workout.
Ricky Bobby. You know, with my money and technological advancement, there's no reason I can't live to 150, 175.
Stop it. Stop it. Damn, just the music, though, makes you feel better. Like, okay.
It's like Futurama. You know, he's just going like to get his head cut off.
And right.
He'll figure it out. He'll be a robot down the road.
We all got kids.
It's like why
family.
Ted Williams decided to freeze himself. I'll be back someday. Don't worry about it. I'm famous and I have money.
We all got kids. We got family. We try to do the right thing. Right? We try to be good dads, good
question.
People, good husbands.
Maybe
we should play that music while we're riding in a car.
If someone could guarantee you today, Hardy, you live to 100. Would you do it?
Would I live to 100?
Yeah, if they said, you know what, you can live to 100, but there's no guarantees on what kind of condition you'll be in at 100.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I'm out. No thanks.
I don't know. Fear death. Gotta fear something. I don't know.
Play that deep music for Zoe if you
yeah.
could.
Yeah, do that.
It is. It puts you in a trance.
Kaiser Soze.
Driving in. Like, wow.
It's the only thing you gotta be afraid of.
Like, I'm gonna come in, I'm not as amped up. I am.
Does he sound like a guy who's fearful of retirement?
No, not at all.
As long as he's got that purpose, he wants to have the, you know, the quote unquote purpose driven life. He wants
just gave
to
it to you though. He says, "I'm going to have work every single day."
But he also said, "I'm scaling that mountain, man. You go that trek up that mountain. You don't stop before you get to the top. Nobody does that. Nobody scales a mountain."
He sounds like a guy who's thought about what's it going to be like after. I'm not doing this anymore.
But what happens when you get to the top? So that's question.
What do they say? When you start thinking about it.
Well, who doesn't? You don't think Bill does? Bill is thinking about it in 09 in his documentary. I might be marvelous.
It sounds like he doesn't feel any obligation, even if Garoppolo was traded, to play any longer than he has to. If he wants to be done at the
Garoppolo
end of the year,
he's going to be done
at the end of the year. That's what it sounds like.
This is him. This is Tom versus time. He's going to do what he does. He wants to keep playing. He's top 44, 45. You know, again, in there, it's 43, 44, 45.
I think at least there's definitely an admission from him here that it's getting harder. It's not getting easier. It's getting harder. And he said not to say that 36, 37, whatever years he used in his 30s weren't hard.
Yeah.
But he's basically saying this is a different kind of hard.
Well, I think
it's getting harder to do this.
Everything.
I don't think 35, 36, 37, 38 was easy either. It's f***ing going to be hard to do.
Yeah. But his life was different then, too.
See,
yeah,
everything's
changed as he gets more and more put upon him every year.
If he used that word a lot, I think he'd go with it's going to be effing hard to do. It's effing gonna be hard.
It's f-ing gonna be hard to do.
Yeah,
that doesn't do
feels
it
forced.
Don't even play that, Jim. It doesn't even feel justice.
Feels forced.
You gotta hear it.
It's gonna be effing hard to do.
Freaking.
That's spoken like somebody sprinkles that into every part of speech, 50, 100 times a day.
Yet that doesn't sound good. Well, it's good. He doesn't swear a lot. I wish I could swear less.
He swears more.
You know, people who
I strive to do.
Well, but people who swear more are perceived to be more honest.
Oh, well, I guess I got that covered.
Just because you're not holding anything back. You're not. If you swear, you swear.
I usually don't hold back.
I don't hold back anymore.
Which is hard for us here.
That's
in
good.
This form.
But that's what makes it good.
We're restrained in some ways here.
Yeah.
Like Jim never swears.
I don't think Jim does anything.
But.
Like, I can't picture Jim having sex or anything. I don't know.
But,
you know what I mean? Like, you look at Jim differently. Like, Jim, it's the perfect Jim. Like, I don't know. Never mind.
No. A bit more.
Dig yourself out of that.
I can see Tom.
So you can picture me having sex and you've done that?
I'm not putting you, you know what I'm talking about. Just like
no, Jim, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Like, Jim is just like a cutout. Like, Jim's a cutout. He's there and he functions. He does everything right. Like, Jim's not going to screw anything up.
He's not going to screw anything.
It's the perfect kid. Like, thing. Jim is like Brady. Yeah. I don't know why I said that.
I don't know either. A bit more.
Can you picture? Like, look at him. I can't picture, like.
Can you picture me?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
What do you think? I know what I'm doing.
I know we got a new intern today. I'm pretty excited about that. His family's already renamed him, too.
Jorge?
Yeah. What's his real name? What's your real name?
So why don't you take 30 seconds and bring this segment, wrap it up, bring it to a close.
It makes you, like this Brady stuff, it takes you down a road. You just start thinking about stuff. Like when you're listening to this on the way in, we all listen to this on the way in. It was a different morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes you, is there a certain focus that we should be looking for in life? It's like that's this whole message with him. Chopra's delivery, everything. Here we are, another bye weekend.
Do you have an awakening?
Yeah, I kind of had
epiphany this morning.
Yeah, be better.
What's your purpose?
I got a purpose.
What is it?
But there's something like you got to find something. If you're when you transfer, like Strahan was talking about, when you transfer and you find what you want to do and you have zest, you love it. Like I love doing this. What I'm doing now, like I found it. It was an awakening. I love what I was doing when I was a player. It's like that addictive personality. I need that structure. I need it every day. I need to be in here 10 to 2 every day. I get up, boom, 6 o'clock, Twitter. Let's go. I'm ready. Ready. There it is. I found it. I'm finding it. I might go TB12 and sign up today. I'm keeping this train rolling. Right?
Do you feel like people are after you?
No, I'm not paranoid. I'm not paranoid like him. I understand why he's paranoid. I do. Like, even when we're around, like, he doesn't shake hands. It's fist bump. I'm like, I don't want your germs. Take a picture? Here, I'll stand here with my hands crossed in front of me. Look at all the pictures. Take a peek at all the pictures he takes with people. Yeah, it's not like me. Hey, buddy, I'll put my arm around you. You know, rub your head. He doesn't touch you. I'll stand here. I may cut out. You know, you're taking it with me. It's like the Pope. It's weird. So there you go.
All right. All right. Thanks, though.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's real football guy, you know, like Tom, like Peyton, man, guys like that. I mean, that are just deep, deep into it. You know, he has a ton of experience. He does a great job of making adjustments on the line of scrimmage, whether it's changing protections or if he sees a certain coverage, he can get into a play that'll attack that coverage. He's had a number of, you know, checks like that. Again, I don't know what the original play was that was called, but I see the play that they get into and how it's designed to attack the defense or the coverage that he's identified, and he's identified it correctly, and then it ends up being a big play. And so being able to disguise our coverages and not just tell him what we're in, I mean, that's really suicide, because he'll just chew that up.
Philip Rivers, quarterback for the Chargers, as you know, will once again be in Foxborough this weekend. The more stories I read this week leading up to the game, the more I'm reminded how a lot of people make the assumption that Philip Rivers is going to be a Hall of Famer. Would you give him a vote?
I'd say yeah.
How many quarterbacks from this era are you going to put in?
Breeze, Brady, Rodgers, Roethlisberger,
Peyton Manning.
I don't think he's already in. Like, I consider him in.
Okay, but
when he's eligible, he's in.
Okay, yeah. That's a guy that's from this era. Rivers? That's the same era that Philip Rivers played in.
Rivers, eventually Russ Wilson.
So who are you not putting in?
That's about it.
You're going to put Matt Ryan in?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Because his statistics are great. He has great passing numbers.
I think he's a stiff.
And he's gone further than Philip Rivers has ever gone.
You could say that.
Tell me why Philip Rivers has to go in. Tom Brady has to go in. Peyton Manning has to go in. Drew Brees has to go in.
Right.
Why does Philip Rivers have to go in?
I don't know.
He may not get in right away, but I'm just saying Kurt Warner's in. But Kurt Warner won a Super Bowl and he took another team to one, but lost it.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't view Philip Rivers like as a Vinny Testaverde.
Was Kurt Warner in his career?
Like Matt Ryan, it's got to be freaking perfect for him. He's got to play in a dome. He's got to have number one picks all around.
Who?
Matt Ryan.
Okay.
It's got to be perfect
as opposed
for
to
him.
A guy who played in San Diego for his career, because the weather there was so tough to deal with.
I don't know.
What's the difference between San Diego and playing in a dome?
I just think I don't
rains
know.
Rain sometimes.
Like, he's had how many different coordinators? He hasn't had everything structured for him from day one. It's not his offense like Tom's.
I'm sorry, but how many different coordinators you've had should never come into the debate of should a guy be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, head coaches like Marty freaking Schottenheimer. I know people think.
It feels like those who want to put him in and feel strongly that he should be there.
He feels like one to me. I don't
talk about how many coaches he's had.
Like Marino.
How he never had a defense, which is a lie. Which is just all this stuff that has nothing to do with how great he was.
It's the flair of the modern day Marino feel that I have for him. That's all.
Okay,
like,
but you watch.
You
look at Dan Marino, you're like, this guy's the best quarterback in the league right now.
Yeah.
You could look at him, regardless of whether his team was winning, and there were times when you'd look at Marino and say, this guy is truly great. He's the best in the game right now. And that's where it really should begin and end when you're talking about, was he ever great? Yeah, Marino was great.
Yeah.
You could see it every weekend you watch the guy. He was doing something great.
I've always had a high opinion of Rivers ever since he was in NC State. I liked him. I liked him then. I liked him now. I don't know. It just feels like it to me.
What is special about Philip Rivers that stands out versus other quarterbacks of this era who have played and have accumulated stats?
Moxie. Like, it doesn't seem
moxie.
Like... It, well, I'm just saying, it seems like he could rally his team. He could rally his troops. Like, he's got guts. He could play hurt. I don't feel that way about Ryan. Ryan feels like a sterile stick figure. Where everything around him just functions, and he's got to have two quick backs that run 4-3. He's got to have Julio Jones. If not, he's got to have Roddy White or the next guy, or you got to get him Ridley, or you got to get him Tony Gonzalez. Everything's got to be great, and it's got to be in a perfect dome, 72 degrees, like the little guy from Elf on an S500, 10 grand. I don't know. It just you fill it with Rivers. Like, I enjoy watching him play. I don't enjoy watching Matt Ryan play. It's like work. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it because I don't have the wins, the Super Bowl wins, the playoff appearances, the AFC title games. He's been to one. That's it. I don't know. He's vocal. He's got swagger. I like it. I dig the guy. What do you want me to say?
Convince me he needs to be in the Hall of Fame because he's got...
I mean, this is part of the problem when you get there to Hall of Fame week in the Super Bowl where you got to make a case for the guy. Like the local Ron Borges has got to go to the bat for you and go to the wall with you, and it's got to be on hard-based factual stuff. And he's sitting there. It's easy with Brady and Manning, right? It's going to be easy with Breeze.
Let me ask you a question. Is there any real excuse for if you're a Rivers guy and you truly believe in the talent and that he's great and you believe in this team, is there any excuse for Phillip Rivers to not win this weekend?
I mean, depends on how's the game going.
If Phillip Rivers loses this weekend, you know that that's just who Phillip Rivers is.
If he loses, he throws to 350 and you're in a shootout, which could happen in this game. It could be a three. Yeah, we think it's going to be a tight game, like 13-10, whatever. Or who knows, 17-14. This game could end up being 33-28.
Win or
lose. Say he throws four touchdowns.
Win or lose. We're not going to be talking about scores on a Hall of Fame ballot.
I don't know. And say he plays great.
Phillip Rivers hasn't won jack when he gets to the postseason. He just hasn't.
So then you're terming him a choker.
Yes. Yes. You think it's a coincidence that the seven times he's gone against Brady, he's lost every single time? And I know, they're not on the field at the same time.
Then you got to feel the same way against about Andrew Luck.
At what point do you say...
Then you've got to feel the same way about Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck's
0-6.
Andrew Luck is not in a Hall of Fame conversation.
No, but I'm saying, guess what? He's going to be at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think Andrew Luck is going to the Super Bowl either.
But years and years and years from now.
Andrew Luck in 5 years.
You know what? Talk to me on Andrew Luck 10 more years from now. We'll have the discussion.
Good.
Because that's the point we're at on Phillip Rivers. Okay. That's where we are.
Okay.
He's been around a long time. He came into the league the same time as Eli Manning.
See,
which I find so fascinating because of how that played out.
To me,
where Eli gets drafted by the Chargers and he's not going there, and Papa Bear says he's not going there, and they got to swap guys, and so Phillip Rivers ends up there. Eli's in New York. Eli's won two, and Eli, I just think in terms of talent, right, ability to play the position, is not equal to that of Phillip Rivers.
I agree with that. Totally agree with that.
Yeah, when it comes to having stones.
See, there's something to be...
Eli beats the bag out of Phillip Rivers.
See, I look at a guy like...
Sorry.
A guy like Roethlisberger to me.
What's happened?
A guy like Roethlisberger to me is a sloppier player than Rivers, but yet he's got numbers.
I don't disagree.
But he's got great people around him. But the big thing with Ben is he's got the two wins. He's got the two big ones. And they're always in the playoffs, man. Like, this type of year should be held more against Roethlisberger than it's being held against him. Like, people are holding this against...
And Eli has had some truly terrible years in his career.
He sure has. He's the guy that's hit the damn cliff. If you want to talk about guys hitting cliff. And we sit there and read, let's monitor Brady pass for pass, touchdown. Eli's cliff hit 2 years ago. But nobody talks about it. He's beating Brady twice.
But when you need a big throw to Mario Manningham in a key moment of the game in a Super Bowl against the Patriots,
David Tyree.
Does Phillip Rivers make that throw? In that spot, under that pressure, in that spotlight?
The Manningham throw is better than a Tyree throw.
We've never seen it. That's why I said it. I didn't say David Tyree. I said the Mario Manningham throw.
I know. You're key there. Because that throw was balls.
Ridiculous.
I was right 5 feet from it. I'm like, oh my God, he caught that.
And so this is, again, not to say that Eli is better than Phillip Rivers. But Phillip Rivers has never had a Hall of Fame moment. And Eli Manning has. And those are facts.
These next three games could be... Everything you think about him for the next 50 years to come. Like, he could cement himself. He's got a chance.
I think that Eli is going to get in. If I had enough, if it were up to me, I wouldn't put either one of them in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Wow. That's a good discussion.
But I understand why Eli gets in, because he's had that.
See, I don't look at Eli and have any type of feel for playing the position the way I do with Rivers. They are like night and day to me.
Bert Breer from the MMQB is going to join us next,
He's
and we'll
excited.
Get your calls on this.
Good.
There's just a lot of this, you know, Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Is he? Really? For sure?
That kind of talent, that kind of time with the team. How many conference championships has he been to? One and lost.
Goose egg. Bert Breer with us.
It's not all about the wins, because you get in the whole Marino conversation.
Marino's been to one Super Bowl at the beginning and then never got back.
At least he got there.
Close. He got there.
He got there. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bert Breer, the MMQB, is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios here on Zolak and Bertrand. We now welcome in on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Patriots All-Pro cornerback.
First team All-Pro, right?
Yep.
That's right. Stephon Gilmore. Steph? He's brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Again, Stephon Gilmore joining us from Foxborough. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Steph. Hey, try telling people, you know, the difference between being selected to the Pro Bowl, not that I ever was or was ever an All-Pro, but All-Pro, it's pretty special to be selected to that team. Fair to say, in the type of year you had?
Sure, it's definitely special. I mean, I think that's a big honor. A lot of hard work, so it's a big honor to be All-Pro.
Does it mean a little more, given that last year wasn't as smooth and obviously not an All-Pro type of year that you're having this year? You know, you could even say had some struggles at times transitioning into the defense last year, and now to say where you are a year later, everything that's gone into that?
Yeah, for sure, you know, I felt more comfortable this year. You know, first time changing teams last year, adjusted, started coming on after, like, the fifth game. But, you know, I felt real good this year, you know, being around my teammates, listening to the coaching. Coaches put me in a position to make plays, so. Just got to keep it up.
You guys have been up against some pretty damn good receiver sets all year long. Whether we go back to Kansas City or we talk about Green Bay, I thought Pittsburgh had the best set. You look at what, I won't say San Diego, but what the L.A. Chargers present to you on the outside and the type of size. This is really what they brought you here for, right? To match up against these type of guys, the 6'3", the 6'4", 6'5", guys?
Yeah, I mean, I just pretty much cover whoever they say cover, you know. You know, it just changes every week. You know, there's a lot of great receivers in this league. You got to play each receiver different ways to be successful.
Who you got this weekend? Who you covering? Can I tell you yet?
We'll see.
All right.
What's the challenge in playing against bigger guys like a Keenan Allen or a Mike Williams?
You know, even those guys, two different guys. You know, you have to play them certain ways. You know, they're good receivers, and they also got a great quarterback throwing them the ball, so. Anytime you have that and you got to play with good technique and study a lot of film and play smart and play physical and play fast.
Does his delivery, meaning Rivers, you talk about having a good quarterback, the delivery and how quick it is, you know, sort of sidearm, is there tendencies you could key on, read on, or is it just he'll bell, he'll throw it off the back foot? Like, you never know when he's going to throw it. You know, he's not your quintessential pocket passer, so to speak.
He is a, you know, he always had the release, and you know, he's a great quarterback. You know, you can try to key him, but he still make great throws. Been playing for a long time, so just got to study him. Everybody got to do that drive and trust each other and make plays.
It feels like, it feels like Gates has been in the league for 25 years. Can he still be productive as far as separation and his ability?
How does he get open? Because he looks like...
He never looks open.
Looks like he's lumbering out there.
Looks like he barely move, and then he's open.
Somehow he's open.
Yeah, he's quick at the top of the route. You know, he has a good dead leg, quick twitch. So, I mean, he's very savvy. He's been doing it for a long time.
We're talking with Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore. What was Monday like when you come in after a bye week and your coaching staff just found out the opponent the day before? You know, how fast do you guys sort of hit the ground running on Monday? And what's the, I guess, the volume of information that you're trying to sort of process and get ready for a game?
Does
like
it just
this?
Get dumped on your iPad? Like, on
yeah, how does that all go down?
How does that happen?
You're pretty much already on your iPad. Just wait and see who won and, you know, come in and, you know, try to get the game plan and, you know, study the guys we probably go be going against and, you know, just prepare. That's pretty much what you do.
Is a lot of the stuff like, because Baltimore's so unique offensively, does a lot of the stuff, I mean, you look at what like they did last week.
They almost have to throw that game away.
Right. Yeah.
Say that again.
No, like we're saying if you're a defense and say you were having to prepare for a team like Baltimore, you're so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
You know, do you get anything when you watch the Charger tape because you're up against, you know, Lamar Jackson? He's a different animal.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to worry about that. I'm on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no, so. I mean, what I was saying is, like, Baltimore does some different things. Like, how much of it was that, like, what Baltimore was doing was applicable to what you guys do?
They do, you know, they switch it up a little bit. We go in the game, you know, we play certain ways depending on who we playing, and we got to play a certain way in this game. You know, just trust each other and everybody do their job.
All right. Appreciate your time. Yep. Good luck on Sunday.
Good luck Sunday.
Thank you.
All right. Stephon Gilmore joining us.
I want to apologize for that because I just totally brain farted there.
You backward.
Yeah. I tried to bail you out. You tried to bail me out.
I knew what you were saying.
So, but I was like, oh,
I knew what you were saying.
Like, halfway through, I realized what I did. I did. And I'm like, oh, God.
I asked Bill that for All Access. It's almost like because of what Baltimore and the
how unique they are, do you just
throw that game away and look at like a Chief game or something?
Right.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's a good question. Well, because, but there's things you take.
I don't have
to
worry about that.
Yeah, right. Well, defense, dummy.
That's right.
Hey, how about that, though? So all of a sudden, boom, just like that, it's right there on your iPad. It's interesting how
it's funny how good
the audio
must be much
how good
than
the audio
you...
visual team is here compared to
no one had to wire his hotel either.
Nobody could get in a hotel on the East Coast or even have their video team stay out west and click, drag, drop, airdrop it to a certain group or chat group.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.